You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hello there. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Inkabooch. Inkabooch is a new kind of kombucha combining all the probiotic benefits of other kombuchas with the antioxidant benefits of purple corn infused tea. Purple corn has some of the highest levels of antioxidants in the plant world, and combined with tea to make kombucha makes for a powerhouse of nutrition. Visit Inkabooch.com to check out their great selection of drinks, including spice berry and ginger coconut. So for the JRE review today, I will be reviewing this week on my own podcast 1221 with Jonathan Haidt. I think that's how you say his last name, H-A-I-D-T. His conversation with Joe was very interesting. He's a very smart guy, very well thought out. He's an author of The Happiness Hypothesis and The Coddling of the American Mind. And has some fascinating things to say, and brings up some great points to which Joe was some on board with and some not on board with. So anyway, let's get reviewing. So the first thing that they get into is really interesting, and it's basically part of the dialogue that's been going on for the last few weeks on this podcast, is the fake scientific papers. So the two gentlemen that came on Joe's podcast a couple of months ago and wrote those fake papers talked about them, and other guests have come on and mentioned it, really in like high-level academia. That people are talking about those papers. It's raised a lot of awareness in how silly they are. So a bit of background if you're not familiar with it, but I'm sure you are if you're listening to this podcast. It's just that there were some like peer-reviewed papers written that got published, and they were kind of like pandering to the far left liberal kind of ideologies that are working their way into the university. So, for example, one of the studies, and I haven't looked at them, but it's just what I'm hearing on these podcasts, is that there was one about rape culture, but in dog parks. And basically, it was just mockery. They were just making fun of this process and the fact that they could get these published. There was another one where they just took lines from Mein Kampf, and instead of using the word Jew, they used the word man. And that got passed as well. So it's showing that there's like a lot of biased people out there that are passing these papers. Well, what's happened now is the people in charge of this, instead of just being embarrassed and saying, look, we need to change our system because how we did these papers and how we're setting this up is ridiculous, they're actually charging one of the guys involved, because he's connected to a university, with a violation of fabrication of numbers, because he was saying that they checked out 10,000 dogs or something, which obviously was a lie, but the whole thing was a lie, and they're trying to get him on it, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you've already been found out to be guilty of not being able to put together proper papers, and your whole system for validating them is a joke, and now you want to go after someone that called you out on it? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to find, you know, what's really going on there. But in this podcast with Jonathan, they get into where this new political thought came from. You know, this kind of like far right, left, progressive, sort of lunacy that we're seeing with Antifa and all these nutcases. But anyway, he was saying that it kind of started in the 80s. With certain types of ideologies, and they started to come together, and it went much faster in the early 2000s and came to a head in about 2014 as a few ideologies came together and university leftism went extreme, and he didn't really give a date exactly, but he was saying that it started at, I think he said Yale. There was some case where the students were complaining about something, and they protested, and instead of the university really just knocking it on the head, they said, what do you need? You know, what can we give you to just calm the situation down? Well, that went national, and then there were protests all over, and all of a sudden, you know, it went into that. It just created, you know, they realized they had some power with these ideologies, and then they just went full ball with them. And in certain places, you know, it's picking up speed. And also, by the way, we hear a lot about it. This like progressive thought, and that all the universities are out of control, and you know, young kids today are just all thinking this way. And but from what I understand, it's not as it just gets a lot of press. The Midwest universities are not really this way. It's more of an East Coast, West Coast school thing, and it's slightly more isolated than it makes out to. And it's also a small minority. It's mostly just people making a lot of noise. And this is at least how I'm understanding it. So that's calmed me down a little bit. Anyway, I prefer that. But Jonathan was saying a lot of this comes from the fact that kids have lost free play because they have social media. Excuse me, bit of a cough. They go out to, you know, instead of going out and playing with friends and learning conflict and how to deal with it, they're just on social media where you can be grandstanding and making bold points, and you know, you don't have to back them up. You're anonymous. You can just kind of like cowardly write things down and walk away from it and get a lot of notice or not. You know, there's extremes online, there's a lot of hate on there, and I'm in the playground, that's harder to do because as a little kid, you know, someone might push you over or smack you, so there's consequences, but you don't really get that online. So in a way, these kids aren't prepared for conflict and therefore college. And Jonathan's saying that to Joe that this leads kids to be more anxious and depressed. And it's really just a minority pushing this dialogue. But that's an interesting thing. I mean, he's saying studies are showing that these kids now are more anxious and depressed. He said, especially in girls. You know, ones that are using social media and like mid school kind of age, because, you know, the girls have aggressive tendencies too, and they're going to bully in their own way, and they do it with kind of social relationships, and that's easy to do online, and that's really sad to hear. It's really sad to hear that, you know, that it's getting harder to get through mid school. It's been a long time since I was in mid school, but I'd like to, and it was tough, but I like to think that, you know, teachers now and school systems and the way that we've learned as time goes on, that we make it better for kids and not worse because we don't understand the technologies that they're connected to and how to deal with it. I mean, bullying is going to rear its head in all different ways. We have to be careful about it. It's not helpful. So, you know, that's kind of how it is. And a lot of this is just, you know, that these complaints aren't done in person because conflict is too high and you really get no credit as well. When you, let's say you have a complaint about a teacher, right? You could go up to the teacher and tell them, even if they are able to fix this complaint, that's it. It's the end of it. But if you complain online, you don't have to deal with the conflict. And if you get a lot of support, you get a lot of credit. So this is kind of how this like social media thing is done. And, you know, in the universities now, a lot of the restrooms have reporting information, which really puts teachers on guard because they can go in there and complain about something a teacher says. Now, obviously, if teachers are being racist and you know, just out of line, there should be a system for it. And that's good. But also, they shouldn't be completely on their toes, you know, or backpedaling just because they're so afraid all the time. And, you know, it comes from this whole idea of microaggressions and what that means. And, you know, it's like in a sense, racism is not as prevalent as it used to be. Though some people think it is, but it's certainly not as bad as it was in the past. And therefore, what's a new type of thing to get upset about? So now it's microaggressions. We've just kind of moved the line off of center towards an even more sensitive way of being. And there's definitely a balance there somewhere. And, you know, the word is out that racism is prejudice with power. It's given minorities a cloak of invulnerability. So racism is prejudice with power. What do you think about that? Meaning that you have to be in a state of power, a position of power, you know, quote unquote, like white people, white man, in order to be racist. Well, that's not really true. You just need prejudice. That's a dangerous thing because it says to people without power that they can be as prejudiced as they want and it's not racist. That's a scary thing. You should never give somebody free rein like that because it'd just get, totally abused. And, it's not really about the truth these days in these arguments. It's about winning. You know, everything's about winning. You try and really make a point. You could give someone all the data in the world. They don't care. They really just don't care. Talking about not going out and play, there's other things that are, in a sense, making kids soft. And this is something that Jonathan talks about and cites some real studies on it. Peanut allergies are one, and they could be wiped out completely. So if you give people peanut powder, the immune system will develop the ability to I guess, digest peanuts without having some sort of anaphylactic shock. And it's that what they've done is people that maybe have heard don't give peanuts to babies or whatever, so they don't do it. And then a lot of these kids grow up with severe peanut allergies. But if you even children that are susceptible to peanut allergies, like their parents had peanut allergies, if you give them peanut powder when they're younger, your body adapts and you're no longer likely to have that problem. And that's interesting because it goes the same for going out and play. You want to get dirty. You want to get in the mud. You've got to build your immune system. Your immune system gets stronger by being exposed to these things. You become resilient. You build like your own capacity. And that's another thing. When you're talking about raising kids, Jonathan's saying don't build self-esteem, right? Build capacity, right? The capacity for stress. You know, it's like a buffer system. Like how much discomfort can you take in that sense and still hold your shit together? That's actually where self-esteem comes from. You know, that's the confidence for life is you can take on more. I find that fascinating. That's a really interesting way of going about things. I've also heard that you shouldn't ever say to your kid how smart they are because that can make them lazy. They just think that they're smart. They think they can do it. They won't work hard. Whereas the better thing to do is to say, look how well you did when you practiced and practiced and practiced and then you knew the answer, or you practiced and practiced and practiced and you were able to make that shot. And then you're teaching them that the repetition of the practice is actually what makes you good, which is really what it is. I mean, even for smart kids, even for geniuses, they have to do something. They have to learn the process before they can make anything really impressive happen. And I think that's an important point. One thing that Joe brought up kind of against what Jonathan was saying is that he's a little nervous about his daughter staying over at people's houses. He's very selective about parents that they go stay with, which I think is a smart move. And you know, the idea of her just kind of walking down to the store on her own is really not something that Joe is going to allow. And a lot of it comes from the fear of kidnapping. But Jonathan makes the point that in the US, kidnapping is very rare, incredibly rare statistically, and that can be proven. And it's like something less than like 100 kids a year. And you take almost anything that can happen to a child, and I mean, this would be so low down on the list. And it's not just because we're parents are overprotective. Yeah, he was saying that statistically, you'd have to stay in a parking lot with the windows down and the doors unlocked with a child in the back for 700,000 years before the child would get kidnapped statistically in the United States. I don't know how he got those numbers, and that seems way too long, but there's something there. The point that he's trying to make is just that it's very unlikely. We don't have to be so overly protective. I mean, obviously, as parents, you want to be smart, but when they're young, you know, like we used to go out to play. They need to as well, and that's going to build their self-esteem and make them quite a bit stronger. And really, that's what we're trying to do with kids, is make them prepared and ready for the world. And if you coddle them too much, they're just not going to be. But anyway, that's it for now. Check out that conversation. It's really good. There's some great things in there. If you're thinking of having kids or you got young kids, there's some good information in there to consider. And who knows, maybe you'll change the way that you're raising them in the hopes that you'll make them more confident. So thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. Love you guys. Talk soon. Thanks for listening, and again, this review is brought to you by Inca Booch. Go to IncaBooch.com to order your drinks today.